بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد
May Allah Jalla wa Ala make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifah, of learning, of education, which will be an asset of our barzakh and our qiyamah, inshaAllah. It was mentioned yesterday that we talked about Ayatul Kursi, wherein the Almighty, He mentions that there are two fronts, there are two ways that are before us. One is the path of Awliyaullah, the other is the path of Awliyaul Shaitan. And the path of Awliyaullah we have to stick to, and not the path of Awliyaul Shaitan. And also the midway, that is having a bit of this and a bit of that, that is the danger zone, and it is not guaranteed that we will be lucky enough to choose the right path when the time of test comes, and that is the day when we will be giving away our life. So, Awliyaullah and Awliyaul Shaitan. And when we talk about Awliyaul Shaitan, everything has to be kept away, whatever is related to them. And it has amazing results in our performance. For example, if you take into consideration this whole tragedy of Karbala, a person was holding the curtain of Kaaba, quoting from Luhuf fi Qatl al-Tufuf, written by Marhum Sayyid ibn Tawus. He says that a person holding the Kaaba's curtain was crying, blind he was, weeping, saying that God forgive me, although I know that you will not forgive me. A person who was passing by him, he said that what type of a dua is this? You are in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, by the Kaaba, holding the curtain. Whatever you ask from Allah, He will give. He will grant you. He says not to me, that no matter how much I plead, He will not forgive me. And then he says, this is my story. That one Maghrib, I said my prayers, and I had my supper, went to sleep. And I have a vision. I see the Holy Prophet in a desert.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I see the Holy Prophet in a desert, and there is a bowl in front of him. And I was also in the presence of the Prophet. Two angels, they stood by me with lashes of fire, and they wanted to lash me, whip me. I ran into the arms of the Holy Prophet and said, refuge, Ya Rasulullah, Aman. He said, why Aman, why refuge? And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, although I was in the party, in the army of Yazid, I never strived a bit. My horse, it never moved against Abu Abdullah. My sword, it didn't come out of the sheath to fight Abu Abdullah. Rasulullah says, regardless, you were present in the army of Yazid, your mere presence was sufficient for this disaster. And then he says, do you see what is in this bowl? He says, it is the blood of my Hussein. Says Rasulullah dipped his fingers in that blood. He touched it onto my eyes, From that moment I got blinded. Says that no matter what our performance is, if we serve, strive in the way of Tawhut, in the way of Awliya or Shaitan, if we get carried away in their path, that is the consequences what we learn from Karbala. On the contrary, we did mention that there have been examples deep down in the hellfire who got elevated when they sought refuge in Awliyaullah. So, in a report, the Holy Prophet, he says that الرَّاضِي بِفِعْلِ قَوْمًا كَالدَّاخِلِ فِيهِ مَعَهُمْ, that someone who is pleased with the performance of a nation, he is part of the nation. It may be as such that we may not be committing crimes, we may not be committing certain sins, but deep down in our heart, we will be happy that whatever is happening, let it happen. Rasulullah says, let it happen, be happy as it is, not having any hatred to what is being happening around you. You are also part of that sin, part of that crime. During the time of Saddam, a noble person, he dies. And his children were happy that he lived a nice life. He lived and he has passed, and they were waiting to have a communication after his death. They say, how did you end up? Where are you now? We know that you are good. He says, everything a mess. They gave me my performance report. Whatever they gave me, none of those amal did I ever do. Although my ziyarat were there, my teaching was there, my studying was there, my services were there. But there were crimes which I never went near them. They were registered in my performance report, for which I am suffering. And when I objected, saying that this is not mine, they told me, have you not heard, الرَّاضِي بِفِعْلِ قَوْمٍ كَالدَّاخِلِ فِيهِ مَعَهُمْ, that have you not heard the saying of the Prophet, that someone who is pleased living in a nation and the actions that are being done around them, he is also part of that nation, part of those actions. May Allah help us in sticking to this right path, which is the path of Awliyaullah. May He help us so that if there is any shak, any doubt in understanding what the right path is, may that be shown to us, known to us, which is haq, which is right. We talked about the inputs to the soul that are seven, the eyes, the ears, the mouth and the private parts. And it was mentioned that we have to secure them. They have to be pure, they have to be clean, so that the soul of ours, it doesn't get contaminated. For that, one of the main inputs are the eyes. Eyes, we have to control them. Not every sight is that eye allowed to see, especially nowadays, with all this easy access to all the filth that we have around us. Sins that were committed in a longer time, in the olden days, are committed now instantly in seconds. So for that, a lot of taqwa, a lot of practice, a lot of training is required, and these eyes have to be trained. The Holy Prophet, he says that, غُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ تَرَوْنَ الْعَجَائِبِ, protect your eyes and you will see amazing things. Now the reason why we don't see anything apart from what is in front of us is that there is a lot of wrong around us. There are so many filters and barriers around us which do not allow us to see the wonders that what is ajaib, as mentioned by the Holy Prophet. Or says that man ghadda tarfahu araha qalbah, one who protected his looks has comforted his heart. That is, we should control, train our eyes not to look at everything. Marhum Ayatullah Qazi Tabatabai, one of the known and the famous Urafa, he says that I trained my eyes for 20 years, that I never casted a look at any non-mahram. And after those 20 years, it so happened that automatically, whenever there was a non-mahram who was about to pass by, eyelids, they closed automatically. That is as a result of that training, that we have to train this eye. And according to Ahadith, it says that the eye is the only part of the body which is always after stuff which it wants to see, which is very greedy. If you don't give it what it wants, it gets upset sooner than anything else. But we have to control, and that is possible. Punishments for bad looks, which we find in riwayats. The Holy Prophet, he says that the Almighty will fill his eyes with nails and fire and until the accounting of the entire creation is being done. This just for those wrong and evil looks that were committed by this eye. May Allah help us again when it comes to protection of this eye. One of the wishes that we have is that to be a helper of the Imam of time. Helpers of the Imam are people like you and me who are waiting for him, longing for him, to being in his service. And for that, we have to work hard. We have to train ourselves so that we also join the Imam. Well, the 313 that we normally hear are the top-notch, or the ministers, or the cabinet of the Imam, which will be in immediate contact with the Imam. The lower level, or the next batch, there are 10,000 members who will serve the Imam. And not long after Mu'mineen from among the Shias, from near and far, you will find that these followers, or those who want to serve the Imam, the number would reach to 300,000 when the Imam arrives. And may Allah count us among them, inshaAllah. From among these 313 who will serve the noble cause, or that cabinet ministers of the Imam, the reason why he needs 313 ministers is because the rule, it's going to be a global rule. It's not going to be one country. It's all these 270 countries that we have on this planet. That one rule needs so many ministers. Riwaya, they say that out of these 313, 50 of them will be women. Some say that a few of them will be women. Regardless, there are women in the cabinet of the Imam. With the Imam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam will also come. He has companions, associates who will be working for him. 800 men, 400 women. Again, these are those who will be with the Prophet, and he too will be in the service of the Imam of time. Now that the Imam is in Ghaybat, he carries out the affairs day in, day out. And to carry out those affairs, he has a cabinet even at this day and age. A cabinet which is formed in four designated layers. The first one, it's called the Awtad. It has four members. The second one is Abdal, seven members. The third one is called Nuqaba, 40 members. And the last one, it's called Rijalul Ghaib, which has 360 members. Now, out of these four cabinets that are working for the Imam, the first batch is called Awtad. Awtad, there are four members in there. And we find du'as, for example, in the du'as that we recite in the month of Rajab for A'mal Umm Dawood, there we say that Allahumma salli ala al-awtadi wal-abdal, that salutations be upon the Awtad and the Abdal. So the four members that we have in Awtad, two of them are Prophet Khizr and Prophet Ilyas, who have an extraordinary life. The other two are people like you and me who have a regular life, 70, 80, 60, whatever Allah has designed for them. The next batch, Abdal, the next one, Nuqaba, and the fourth one, which is Rijalul Ghayb, are people who have a regular life, with the exception of the two prophets, Khizr and Ilyas. When there is a vacuum in the first batch serving the Imam, which are the Awtad, one of those present in Abdal is elevated to the rank of Awtad. Now there's a vacuum in Abdal. One from the lower group is elevated and promoted from Nuqaba to the third batch. And when there's a vacuum in the third batch, from the fourth batch, which is Rijalul Ghaib, one is elevated and comes into the higher group. And now there's a vacuum in the last group. Imam himself comes, picks and chooses one of the mu'mineen to join him and to serve him. So that is how the system works for Imam al-Asr. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Some riwayat, they say that the second batch that we have, which are the Abdal, which was mentioned as 40 men, says there are 40 men and 40 women, 80 in that group. So Imam, to carry out his tasks and affairs, there are women that are even working, mu'minat, those who are pious, who are working for the Imam. When it comes to being in the service of the Imam, you must have heard that it is not a great deal that is required. It is not as such that we have to send all these applications and then if they are accepted, no. Imam says applications are not required, you don't need to impose anything on yourself. You be good, I will come and take you. I will come after you. To understand this, you must have heard a few decades ago, reporting from Marhum Ayatullah Baqir Sistani, father of Ayatullah Al-Uzma Sistani. He says that I had an haja living in Mashhad, and I imposed upon myself to recite Ziyarat Ashura of the full form with those 100 laan and salams and the dua al-qamar after it. And I imposed on myself that I recite this Ziyarat Ashura in one of the mosques in Mashhad. 40 different mosques, 40 times Ziyarat Ashura. He says it was the 40th day and I was wishing and hoping that today is the day I will get my wish granted, or whatever the wish was. He says that I see a light flash in the mosque. The moment the light flashes, I see it out in the lanes, I run after that noor, that light which was in the lanes. He says, I walked into these different lanes and come to a house, the door was open, and I find that light, it ended up in that house. And it was a funeral. A body was laid in one of the rooms. I went into the room and sat by the coffin, and there the Imam also was present. And then Imam, he says to me, Sayyid Baqir, you don't need to impose all these things on yourself. Just be good, I will come after you.
SubhanAllah.
Just simple steps, that do and don't, and we will be there. And then he says, I inquired, whose coffin was that? Says, it was a lady. Who was she? Any dynamic lady? Any muttaqi mu'mina? Says, no, not just a regular mu'mina. Now the beauty of this lady was that during the time of Reza Khan, father of Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, la'natullah alayhima, he abandoned everything of deen in Iran at that time. Hijab was abandoned, mosques were shut down, Husainiyas were closed. Aza of Aba Abdullah was shut. No one was allowed to wear an amama, a turban. Hijab was seized away in the streets. So in that tense situation, no woman was allowed to be in hijab in the streets. Says this lady, to protect her hijab, stayed in her home for 7 years until she died, just to protect her hijab. Says, for that reason, Imam comes in the funeral services of that lady. So it's not much that she did, only those do's and don'ts that she had obliged herself. So, serving the noble cause of the Imam is our desire, which we read in Dua al-Ahd, Ziyarat al-Ahd. Again, just a reminder to you, that is, after your Fajr prayers, recite this Ziyarat al-Ahd, which is a small dua. You can find it online, just type Ziyarat al-Ahd. You've got it in different formats, audios, videos, PDFs, everything is available. There's another one called Dua al-Ahd, Pledge of Allegiance, that we recite after the Fajr prayers And that is to strengthen the bond we have with the Imam of time. We have to. There is no other way out. We have this dua called Dua Adila, which is to be recited by a person who is giving away his life. It's all full of our aqaid. Now normally these duas are recited for them to have a benefit for us. But they will have benefit when we have a prior understanding of these duas, of what the faith and aqeedah of an individual is. If we don't know or have the faintest understanding of what that aqeedah is, that dua also will benefit little. So that, again, another tip, another reminder, that we acquaint ourselves with these aqaid of ours. It's a beautiful dua, dua adila. There's nothing to be scared, no one will die if we recite the dua. It is good that we know what is being mentioned over there. There talks about Tawheed, Adl, Nabuwwah, Imamat, and lists the Imams one after the other. When it comes to the 12th Imam, says, بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَى. That is, through the Imam, Wara means creation. The sustenance of the entire creation is provided. He is the distribution center. No matter which door you knock, all these wishes, hajat, pledges, they are automatically forwarded to the Imam of time. And he is the source, he is the distribution center. If you knock at the door of Amirul Mu'mineen, he forwards it immediately to the Imam, because he is the Imam. The same thing, no matter where you go, it is automatically sent to the Imam. Now that it is sent to him, he is the source, he is the distribution center, it is binding on us that we have to have a bond with him. Amazing riwayat we have. In Nahj al-Balagha, as the Amir says, other riwayat they say, in Hadith al-Kisa we say, that mu'mineen, for them they have a special grace. Says that when you fell ill, I pray for you. Imam says. Says, when you have a dua, I say Ameen for you. When you fell ill, before you are hurt and you feel the pain, says, I say ouch on your behalf. There is this strong communication and connection between the Imam and ourselves. And for that, these filters that we have that are surrounding us, they must be dusted away, they have to be removed, so that we feel the presence of the Imam. And it is wajib on us. The reason why the Imam, his return is being delayed so much, it's because of our wrongdoings. It's because of all this filth that exists in us. In reality, if we see the reason why Imam is, this ghaibat has been imposed on the Imam, it's because of us. He deserves to be free like you and me, but he is not. The reason for that, it's the lazy Shias. And again, if you look back into history, there says the same thing. That A'imma, they were killed, they were martyred just to protect the Shias of their time, the lazy Shias of their time. When it comes to the du'as that we have, when it comes to the riwayat that we have, clearly mentions and lists each one of the Imams from Amirul Mu'mineen right up to the 12th Imam, and all of them are known as Mahdi. Now when you recite Ziyarat Warith, and inshallah we'll recite Ziyarat Arba'een tonight, there he says that Ashhadu annaka al-Imam al-Mahdi. Now normally we think that Mahdi means the 12th Imam and we bow down. When in that Ziyarat al-Warith, Mahdi it's the Imam, it's Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Or in the Ziyarat Arba'een when we say that Ashhadu annaka al-Imam al-Mahdi, that is Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Whenever we say Aba Abdullah in Maqatil, it means the third Imam, Imam Hussein. When we say Aba Abdullah and a hadith is being recited, there it's the sixth Imam which is being quoted and being mentioned. So these are the two differences that we have. So when it comes to the Imam of time, he is Rahmatun Lil Alameen, as Rasulullah was Rahmatun Lil Alameen.
Sure.
when he is rahmatun lil alameen, when he is the source, when he is the distribution center, when through him all the hajat are being given, we have to have a bond with him. We have to. Says that in one of these riwayat, that have a strong link with the imam, so much so that if you need your table salt, your shoelaces, ask the imam. Now we don't do that. We don't ask the imam unless we get stuck. When the jobs are lost, when the universities don't give us admissions, when there's problems, family affairs, children, wife, when there's a disaster, we knock the door of the imam. That is a bad relationship, although it's better than nothing. And once that hajat is granted, fire. That is bad, that is not a healthy relationship. In this period, in this time that we are living in, we have to train to be obedient to the imam. If we are obedient to him now, it will be easier for us to be obedient to him when he returns, when he comes. We are said that to parents, we have to obey them. And this obedience to parents, again, it falls in that category of wilayat that we have. It was mentioned, I think, in the first day that we have various wilayat. That is, a father has wilayat on his children. That if a daughter, she wants to get married, she has to get the permission of her father. Without that, she has committed a sin. Why? Why does she need that permission from her father? That permission is no dictatorship. That father who raised her for all these years, looked after her, fed her, educated her, and she has come to this point, and now that she wants to get married, father understands better than her. That wilayat which he owns, that is given by Allah based upon love. Mahabbat. The system, this creation that Allah has opened, that too has been opened on love, on mahabbat. Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. That is, it's all based on rahmah, it's all based on mercy. That is love. The next step up when we come to the wilayat, that mujtahideen, they hold, again, that is based on love. If you look back into the history, the battles that were fought, for example, the Prophet, even Amir al-Mu'mineen, even Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, they come to the bodies of the enemies, they weep, they cry, as if they are part of their own family. Why do they cry? They say that we wanted you to end up in the heaven, why did you end up in the hell? That is that love which imams have. We have an imam who is so caring, so loving. There is this hadith and du'as that we have that are reported from the Imam of time, says that, again quoting from marhum Sayyid ibn Taus, is among those personalities who can understand, who knows, the recognizes the voice of the Imam. He says that I was in the basement in that Sardab one day, and there I hear the Imam, he has a du'a. Says, I knew that it's the Imam. Some people, they can see the Imam, they can recognize him. Some people, they can recognize the fragrance of the Imam. Some people can recognize the voice of the Imam. So all these are the different categories that people have. Some have free access and they can know and see wherever, whenever the Imam is. So all these are different grades that Mu'mineen possess. He says, I was in that Sardab. An Imam has a dua. Says, Allahumma inna shi'atana qad khalaqta min shu'a'i anwarina. That Allah, our Shias, you created them with the rays of the light which we were created with. And then says that qad fa'alu, that they have committed a lot of wrong, God. Imam says that God, if the wrong they have done, it's between you and them, that is huququllah. Says Allah, I mediate. I ask you to forgive them. Now when Imam intercedes, Allah accepts. Inshallah, I'll quote another incident, which will give you more idea that how beautiful the performance of the Imam is. Now, to benefit from that, we have to have that connection with him. The stronger the bond, the more the benefit. The weaker the bond, the lesser the benefit. Says, they have committed sins from among these huququllah. Says, Allah, I ask you, I request you, I intercede, forgive them. And then says that if it is huququn nas, that is money matters, funds, dues, etc., says Allah, make them so much rich that khums becomes wajib on them. Khums is my right. Says, I will pay their debts with this haqq of mine. We have an imam who is that kind. So, the stronger the bond with the imam, the better, the more a person benefits. People who are waiting for the imam are of three types. We have, for example, to understand this in simple words, sometimes people, they are after effects. That if there are any effects of the imam, let's go and find those effects. For example, when a majlis is held, they automatically cluster, gather, come to that point. Now again, this is that beautiful network of the imam which attracts everyone to a point so that they benefit from that majlis. Now the speaker plays no part as such, the majlis as such plays no part, the decor, it doesn't. It's that love, that bond which pulls and attracts everyone and brings them to a part, and that is the imam who does everything. So people sometimes, they are after effects to find the fragrance, the effects of the imam, they come and cluster and gather in a point. There's a next stage higher, and for them they say that no, we don't need to get to a point to benefit from the imam. For us, we can be anywhere and we can feel the fragrance, the presence of the imam as if it's a Wi-Fi wireless connection. There are others, they say that no, even higher stage, even that is not required. This existence, this creation, all of it is due to the imam. بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ. That is, through the imam, the sustenance of everyone is provided. To understand this, we can look back into history. Uwaisa Qarani, one of the ashab of the Prophet, who never saw the Prophet ever. The bond, the love which he has to the Prophet, it's amazing. Says once, he was told that a Prophet is in Mecca, but he couldn't go because of his mother. Mother was ill, he couldn't leave his mother. So no one else was there to take care of her. Because of his aged old mother, he stayed with the mother and never ever went to see the Prophet until the Prophet also passed away. The bond, the love which he has to the Prophet, it's amazing. Says once, he has a severe toothache. The tooth falls. He was just amazed. Why did this tooth fall? Historians, they say that we calculated it was exactly the same day in that war that Prophet, his tooth fell. Uwaisa Qarani, his tooth also fell over here. But the distance is thousands of miles. Or when Rasulullah, when he was in his last breath, on his last day, says that he was breathing so heavy, the Prophet was ill. Uwaisa Qarani over here, he also falls ill. Falls ill, breathes heavily, but does not die. Again, when they find out, it was exactly the same moments when Rasulullah was giving away his life. The stronger the love, that's how a person feels. Now people, mu'mineen, who have... Now, our asatid, they used to say, and they also have that same opinion today, that on Fridays, nearer to the time of Maghrib, sometimes you feel that disturbed, you are too much tensed. And when we look back, we don't find anything wrong in our performance. There isn't anything that has hurt us. But mu'mineen, they just get disturbed on that Friday near to the sunset. Says the reason for that, it's because imam, he is upset. The day of his return is Friday. That is, God, another Friday came and it went and I wasn't given that opportunity to come. For that reason, imam is upset. When that main server is disturbed, you find all those computers that are linked and connected to it, they just crash or they just hang up. Those who have this strong connection with the imam, they too benefit. So that for that reason, to benefit the most from the imam of time, we have to have that strong bond, strong connection with the Imam. And that we have to create. When it comes to having a bond with the Imam, different prescriptions you can apply onto yourself. One of them is this Dua al-Ahd, Ziyarat al-Ahd, which is once in a morning, and that is too little. Our ulama, they say that a few minutes in a day, have a little chat with the Imam. Just talk to him. Just a regular chat. That Imam, this is what I am. This is the wrong that I have in myself. And this is what I want to get corrected. Talk to him and he listens. And those who are smart, they get a feedback also from the Imam. Those communications, it was mentioned yesterday and day before yesterday, that Allah has communications, continuous communications, but we don't tend to get to those communications. The reason for that, we are deaf. Those filters that are there. Filters need to be dusted away for those communications, that is through the Imam, these ilhamat that we have through the different channels that get to us. One of the other things is that one of the riwayat, it says that Imam, he looks at each one of us 100 times a day, 100 times every day. Now when he looks at us 100 times, how do we pay back those looks, those kind looks of the Imam? One of the ways is by reciting 100 salawats for the Imam each day, saying Allah. And that is by reciting 100 salawats, we pay back those kind looks of the Imam. And when Imam, if he just has a kind look, prays for us, or just one look of the Imam is sufficient for our dunya, barzakh and qiyamah. We don't want his prayer, just a kind look. You've heard this shair in Farsi, بِزَرِّ گَرْ نَزَرِ لُوتْفْ بُوتْرَابْ كُنَدْ بِعَاسِمَنْ رَوَدُ كَارِ آفْتَابْ كُنَدْ. That if Bhutarab, which is Amir al-Mu'mineen, looks at a zarre. Zarre means that small particle which floats in the air. Says Imam, if he has a look only at that zarre, it will ascend and elevate to the skies and do the job of a sun. That is what happens when Imam, he has a kind look to us. Says 100 times he looks at us. One of those looks is sufficient for us, for our prosperity here and elsewhere. When it comes to having a bond with the Imam, the stronger this love, the stronger the benefit we get. Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Milani, among the Maraji al-Taqlid of the 1950s, he says that during his time, in those days people they used to travel to Ziyarat by sea on ships. And it was a long travel, a long journey. A few months it used to take. Says that there was a group which came from Bombay to Najaf, and there in one of those Husainiyas they find there are two brothers, Maddah, Zakir. They are reciting for Aba Abdullah and they love their recitation. They invite the two brothers to India. Now this again, it's another mystery. India, the language there is different. Over here recitation is in Farsi. And how these people, they invite them to India. When it comes to the majalis of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, the language which speaks over there, it's the language of love. It's nothing else. So we find that we get to a majlis, a different language is being spoken, but there is a benefit which everyone benefits from it. That is the language of love. Says he comes and they invite him, the two brothers, to Bombay, and they become frequent visitors to recite. Says in one of these visits, when they were invited for Muharram, the ship, it reaches the port and there was another group that was leaving for Hajj. Says that the younger brother says that we are mustatir, that we are wealthy enough and Hajj is wajib on us. We have to go for Hajj. The elder brother says, we have committed we have to go and recite there first. Says that Hajj is wajib, recitation is mustahab. There's a little dispute, and the younger brother says, I'll go perform my Hajj, come back as soon as I can, and for the remaining days of Safar, I'll recite. He sets off for Hajj. When he comes back, maybe during these days of Safar, he came back. And the people, their hosts, they come to welcome him. The welcome this time, it's different. He finds out that the elder brother fell ill, he died. So he was upset for two reasons, that he died in Ghurbat, away from his homeland, no one there with him in his funeral, and secondly, not performing a Hajj. Has a dua from Allah, a wish, that a communication be created between him and his brother, and it so happens. Says that when I see my brother, I ask him, where are you, how are you, how did you end up? He says, everything was a disaster, everything a mess. And all for that one Hajj which I did not perform. Says, I gave my life very tough. And here again in Barzakh, the position that is given to me, the cell that I was kept in, it was a horrible cell. But now my situation has changed. And then he says, what happened? Says that I was in my cell, punished. Instructions from Amirul Mu'mineen that come and take him to another cell which is worse than this one. Because he is Qasimun Nari wal Jannah, distributor of the hell and the heaven. Says Imam's instructions are to be that I be taken to another more miserable place. Says the two angels, they come. Now he was a maddah, a zakir, and his utmost endeavor was to recite for Ahlul Bayt throughout his life. And whatever we do in this dunya, that remains with us in our graves, and that is how we will be raised. If a person, hadith says, if a person loved a stone, he will be raised with the stone, resurrected with the stone. If we loved Ahlul Bayt, we will be raised with Ahlul Bayt. If that bond was there with them, we will be raised with that bond. Says that when I was being taken to that cell, as it was my habit to recite, I started reciting, Deste mano inayato lutfo ata ye Fatime, Qalbe mano mahabbato ruze jaza ye Fatime, Be bazle deste Fatime, Be khake pa ye Fatime, Manam geda ye Fatime, Manam geda ye Fatime. That is, this my hand extended to the graces and favors of Fatima. Says, this is my heart filled in with muhabbat and love of Fatima. Says, by the bestowals of the hands of Fatima, by the dust of the feet of Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima. I am the beggar of Fatima. Says, I started pleading. At once she appears there, says, what's wrong? Says, I have a shortfall in my performance. She says, take him to Amirul Mu'mineen. Says, the two angels bring me to Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, why did you bring him here again? Did I not assign that cell? Take him back. Again, the two angels follow the instructions, take him back, and he starts pleading over again. Daste mano inayato lutfo ata ye Fatime, Qalbe mano mahabbato ruze jaza ye Fatime, Be bazle daste Fatime, Be khake pa ye Fatime, Manam geda ye Fatime, Manam geda ye Fatime. Says that now she comes. What's wrong? Says Imam has rejected, has sent us back. Says, let me come with you now. The two angels, Maddah, with Hazrat Zahra to Amirul Mu'mineen. Now over there, before Hazrat Zahra, he is all respect. Says Zahra, what shall I do? She says, he has served us. He has cried for us. He has made others cry for us. Ali, he has a shortfall. I want you to do something for him now. Help him. Imam says, what can I do? Instructions given to me are clear. Someone who has died not performing a Hajj, mata Yahudiyan aw Nasraniyan, someone who has died not performing a Hajj, has died a death as a Jew or a Christian, that is the result, the punishment. She says something has to be done for him. We can't let him go. Says Mahdi, calls the Imam. Their Imam appears immediately, says, yes, what can I do? Says Mahdi, this Maddah, this Zakir of ours, who has served us, has a shortfall in his performance. I want you to perform a Hajj on his behalf this year. And then he says that as a result of that Hajj of the Imam, which is a perfect Hajj, which is a Hajj which is Qabool, which is a Hajj which is never denied, never rejected, says as a result of that Hajj, my situation in Barzakh changed. When it comes to love, bond with the Imam, we have to have that bond. If we wish to benefit all those loud speaking that we have, those benefits that are mentioned in riwayat, in du'as, in ziyarat, to benefit from them, we have to have that understanding. That heart of ours has to accept those communications for us to benefit a lot. It's the day of Arba'een. And on this day, this caravan of Noor, it comes from Sham all the way to Karbala. 7 to 9 days of journey. Says, when this holy caravan, they reach Karbala, to the grave of Abu Abdullah, there they see Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who is the first Zair, the first visitor to this noble grave of Abu Abdullah. He recites a ziyarat, falls and faints on the grave of Abu Abdullah. There the caravan, they arrive. Our fourth Imam with all the women, the children, they stay there for a few days and then they set off. Now this incident of Arba'een takes just a few days. But if we look back on this whole tragedy of Karbala, Abu Abdullah, after all, he perishes on that day of Ashura. He has done his job, given his sacrifice. But someone who served the most after Abu Abdullah is Zainab al-Kubra. Hussein passed away, Abul Fazl passed away, but she does the task of Hussein from that day until she dies. If we look into the biography of hers, it's amazing that Abu Abdullah is 2 or 3 years old when she is born. Infant when she is born is given to the mother, to the father, to Imam Mujtaba, eyes are closed. She opens her eyes in the laps of Abu Abdullah and Hussein. When they wanted to name her, the mother gives it to the father to name. She says, he says that I won't name her. It is the Prophet who has to name. When given to Rasulullah, he says that Allah has to name. Wahi is revealed. Name her Zainab. And then when these births take place in these noble house of Ami Ali and Fatima, the scenario is different. It's just weeping and crying. Jibreel descends, recites a musibah, says, why do you cry? Says, this infant, she will see the most griefs, the most pains, the most sorrow, right from her early days until she passes away. She is 5 or 7 years old. The first tragedy which unfolds, the mother, she is hurt, crushed between the door and the wall. She sees with her eyes what unfolds on her. And she is the first one to see how the mother felt. When the mother was being washed, she is the one who brings the hunuts for the washing for the ghusl to be done. Zainab al-Kubra, the second tragedy which unfolds, it's the shahadat of her father in the month of Ramadan, which she sees. The third tragedy, she is the first one to see Imam Mujtaba throw up blood. She is the one who informs that this is what has happened. Worst of all is what we see on the day of Ashura. When it comes to the knowledge of Zainab al-Kubra, our fourth Imam says that you are an alima who has all that knowledge without being taught. When it comes to tafsir, she is the best of mufassireen. When it comes to giving, when it comes to generosity, daughter of Ali, the most generous she is. When it comes to haya, there is no match to her. Her neighbor says that I was her neighbor for 7 years. Not once did I see how she looks like. Resemblance of Zainab, the most to Hazrat Khadija, says that throughout her life, she has a few journeys, 6 or 7. Only on one occasion did she travel with honor, and that is when her father was the Khalifa of that time. Apart from that, all of the other journeys she has, they were all miserable. When she wants to set off then, she had Ali Akbar and Abul Fadl al-Abbas to help her assist, ascend and embark the camel. After that, she takes the job of the two, and she is the one who helps others to embark. When it comes to protection of Imamat, she is the staunch supporter of Aba Abdullah from the day one. She opens her eyes in the laps of Hussein. Says that she has to see Hussein a few times a day. When it is time for her to get married, she puts a condition in the wedlock with Abdullah bin Ja'far. Says that, Abdullah, on a condition I will marry you, that if Hussein is to travel, I must join him. You must allow me to travel with him. Says, okay, with that condition in the wedlock, she marries. When they come to Mecca with Abu Abdullah and Hussein to perform Hajj, and when Imam sees that the scenario over there, the atmosphere is tense, and there will be a bloodshed in that noble sacred land of Mecca, Imam leaves Mecca. There, the reporter says that, Imam, now that you are going, don't take the women and children with you. She hears, brings her head out of the tent, says, what did you say? You want Hussein to go without me? Wherever he goes, I have to be with him. Says a few times, I see Hussein in a day. When Abu Abdullah, on that day of Ashura, collapses, there isn't anyone there. She is the first one who rushes out of the tents towards the battlefront. And the Maqatil, they say that she fell down and she stood up as she ran towards the Maqtal to Abu Abdullah and Hussein and throwing the dust onto her head. On the day of Ashura, she helps the Imam the most. When the bodies were being brought, she takes them in, cries on them. When the body of Ali Akbar was brought, because it's the father who has brought the body and the battle has just started, so that the father doesn't feel weak, she takes the body quickly and sends the father back to fight to the battlefront. That is the performance of Zainab. When it was her own children, she pleads to her brother that they be allowed to sacrifice. And when they set off, she prays that they don't come back alive. And when they do, when the bodies are brought, she never takes care of those bodies. When these heads were distributed on that 12th, says that we find two heads as if they belong to no one, as if lost property. Says, who do they belong to? Don't they have anyone to cry for? Says, yes, they belong to Zainab, but Zainab has someone else to cry. In Ziyarat Jama'a, we have a phrase which says that لَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that I cry for you night and day. Marhum Sultani, he says that in a vision which I had with the Imam of Time, I asked him, Imam, do you certify this ziyarat, is that yours? He says, yes. He says, what about this phrase that لَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that I cry for you morning and night, is that for Ali Akbar? Says, no. Says, is that for Abu Abdullah? Says, no. For Abu al-Fazl? Says, no. Who is that for? Says, that is for my aunt Zainab. In the court of Ibn Ziyad, when the heads were brought in, the head of Abu Abdullah looks at every member present in that caravan. Eyes were open. When it comes to Zainab, he closes his eyes. Why? Says Zainab, how can your services be thanked the way you looked after my household, this haram of mine? Zainab, when she sets off from Sham to the people, the inhabitants of Sham, she says that we are leaving behind an amana over here, a trust. And that is this ruqayya of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. We want you to glow a light in our absence. When Yazid changed his policies and says, okay, whatever your wish is, I'll give you a 200,000 dirhams for you to take and go. She says that you want to pay that money, blood money for Husayn. Allah says that one mu'min, his hurmat is as much as his respect and dignity is as much as the holy Kaaba. This is Abu Abdullah and Hussein. Take your money. Says, we want that amama of my brother back. Those veils that were seized away from us back. That shirt of my brother which was taken away, we want that back. Says, okay. To Imam Sajjad, he says that, what do you want to do? He says, let me consult my sister. The moment he says, let me consult my sister, Yazid, he shakes. Now if she is going to give an advice, it's going to be a revolution, another disaster over here. Comes and seeks advice from the sister. Says, no one, nowhere but Medina will we prefer. We'd like to go back to Medina. But before that, we have a request. And that is, a house be emptied so that we sit and cry for our brother Hussein. The first official azar, the first official mourning for Hussein was established, was organized by Zainab. And when this caravan of light of Noor is to set off from Sham, heading off to Medina en route to Karbala, Yazid, he prepares 500 horses, a carriage, a very lavish ride. When she comes to the ride, says, what is all this? Says, it's the ride for you to go to Medina. Says, we are in azar, we are in mourning, we don't sit in these carriages. Everything has to be turned to black so that everyone knows what has befallen, what has unfolded on us. Now when Zainab al-Kubra, it's her last moments, giving away her life, dying, Abdullah bin Ja'far, her husband, says that I was amazed to see her. She called me, Abdullah, says, yes. Says, take me out in the open under the sun, on the sand. Says, why? Says, my brother Hussein, he died in the open in the heat of Karbala. And you want me to die in this shelter? She is brought back outside in the desert, in the open. Abdullah says, I was amazed to see her performance. She has something in her hand. She hugs it, kisses it, puts it back onto her chest. Says, and that way she gave away her life. I come close to see that's the blood-stained shirt of her brother Hussein. Lived in the love of Hussein, died for the love of Hussein. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها 10 times يا الله 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 يا الله. إلهي hasten in the reappearance of the Imam of time. Count us among his true servants and his true supporters. All the wrong that we have done, God, forgive us. All the wrong that exists in us, waive it. Ya Allah, never distance us from Quran and Ahlul Bayt ever. May there never be a separation between us, Quran and Ahlul Bayt. May that be in this dunya, barzakh or qiyamah. O God, our children, correct them. God, our children, count them among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Count them among the best of the supporters of the Imam of time. These tears that were shed for Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, Ya Allah, may they be kept as an asset for the day that we will be in need. Matam-e Hussain.